morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
A lot of energy from Chuck. He's got his CBC State Champions t-shirt on. And he said, well, that's right. We won state.
We won state last year.
Honorary, Walsh, you hearing that?
Honorary alum of CBC because I've lifted a couple weights in their gym along with Cameron Babb from Ohio State and all the other high schools out there. If you want to be spoken about as well, I have to say CBC is the best in terms of giving out free shirts. And I do wear them.
Just stop at the best.
The amount of times that there are three CBC graduates in here, and then he's the one in CBC gear.
Correct.
The amount of times that happens, I've never actually reflected on it, but it's kind of crazy.
Well, I have three CBC shirts, and I have to say, I'm
you
sure
Walshy...
You rotate
between six of your outfits for us.
That's true.
Buckeyes.
But the 2 3-button polos are really nice quality. And this is a nice quality shirt to work out in. It's kind of a dry fit, so I have to say, I wear them often.
You ever think that we're out of touch?
Yes.
With the majority of people living in our area. Like, we don't know where anything is. So my mom yesterday had to pick somebody up, not me. She was picking up my niece.
You're dry cleaning?
And so she's picking up my niece, and so she asked me, hey, where's the bus station downtown?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, the bus station? Well, there's a Metrolink deal kind of by the Scott Trade, which isn't called that anymore. I had no clue.
I wouldn't know that.
And then my mom said, it's actually sort of connected to where Amtrak is. And I said, oh, is that the one that's kind of under the highway, kind of over there by the old Al Hrabowski?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Would you guys have known that?
No.
Am I out of touch?
I would know it, but only because I took a bunch of Amtraks to and from Chicago for like 2 straight years. But it is kind of connected to the Metrolink station right there across the street from Enterprise Center. So
it is.
You're not completely wrong.
So it's in that proximity.
Yeah,
there.
It's just a little bit further down. You're not entirely wrong.
Speaking of energy,
Rocky,
the Rockman,
fired up.
Always
is.
Bringing it strong. I did drop my wife off at Amtrak for a train ride to Chicago a couple weeks back, so I did know that.
Did you know that the Amtrak station was also the bus station?
I would have figured that if you drove down there, knowing Metrolink's right there, Amtrak's right there, that would have been my first guess. But I didn't know it.
All right. I just want to make sure I wasn't out of touch, although I probably am, to be fair. Hey, welcome. It's the Tuesday edition of the Midday Grind. Chuck back with us after morning duty yesterday. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Tapawingo. Friday, we're going to be at the Schnucks on Telegraph Road. So it's a big roadshow week. We were at the coach's luncheon yesterday. Really beautiful YMCA. It's the one at the O'Fallon Recreation Complex. It was a really neat facility. Great event. Strix guy, Tony Irons, was there. Justin Tatum, Larry Hughes, Anthony Bonner, Travis Ford, Kounza Martin, all the coaches from the state. We could have had one hell of a pickup game.
Saw Justin Tatum at the race on Saturday at Gateway.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
Everybody
taking in
was
the race.
At the big race.
Yep.
I think Justin might be a little mad at me.
Oh, what'd you do?
Because of the CBC golf outing 2 weeks ago, then we have the auction after. And my job is to sort of welcome everybody, and John Bomarito gets up there. And John is obviously, he's a big fan of mine. And he says, Martin works at KTRS Radio. He also works at 590. I'm like, well, not really. But
close enough.
Close enough. And Larry Hughes has a son going to CBC. Justin Tatum has a son going to CBC. And I said, I think I speak for everyone here thanking Justin for now sending his kid to CBC.
Is this kid a baller as well?
I'm sure he's a baller. But it was a Jason joke. And I'm like, he gets
well,
it.
Well, I got the joke. And I'm sure he gets the joke.
I'm sure he gets it. But I also think he gets it a lot.
But
to be fair,
Justin Tatum led CBC to a state championship that first year, correct?
Oh,
and his
fun.
Son Jason, fantastic player, also won one state championship. So it was
correct.
Kind of
even
Steven.
Welcome aboard. A lot of baseball conversation, which includes Kenny Wallace at 12:30 with his latest Kenny graphs. Hoff, what are the current numbers in terms of the Cardinals' chances to be in the postseason?
Now, let me pull them up real quick.
They're four and a half back in the division because
the Cubs
won. But
I'm guessing they improved because Colorado lost last night. Bullpen blew it in the eighth inning to the Angels. Would you care to guess? Let's play a guessing game early on in the show.
I actually haven't looked in a while.
Okay.
Last week, wasn't it about 38-39 on Friday, maybe?
Oh, I think it
was can't
higher.
Remember what day I was with you guys.
I feel like we're in the 60s now.
No, I'm going to say 55%.
Oh, why is Charlie so negative? Thought I liked our club. I said 60.
65%.
Is it really?
65%.
65.2%. Wow. Brewers, 61%. Diamondbacks, 48%. Martin, we both love this. Somehow, the Dodgers have once again surpassed the Cardinals in the playoff odds. They have a 71% chance of making
it. So the Cardinals just swept the Dodgers, but also have a better record than the Dodgers.
Technically are in the playoffs today as we speak. The Dodgers are on the outside looking in, but because of the Dodgers have the best run differential in the National League, I guess because they played the teams ahead of them more frequently. They have four here in St. Louis later in the month of September. So I guess maybe that gives them the edge in the percentage of chances of making it.
I did read a FanGraphs article earlier today where they broke down the strength of schedules for all the National League teams still competing. And I believe Cardinals are playing better teams, you know, above 500. And I think of all the contenders, the Dodgers have the lowest strength of schedule. That's probably the reason.
Dodgers 492, depending on how far you want to stretch the term contender. The Phillies have the easiest one at 490. Cardinals at 507, opponent strength of schedule. The Diamondbacks and Rockies, both tougher schedules, 533 and 518.
How about that?
How about that?
All right, right now, Cubs are better than the Dodgers, correct?
Yes.
Is there any doubt in anyone's mind? They're a better team right now than
the
Dodgers.
Don't you think right now, the way the Cubs are playing, since adding Daniel Murphy, Cole Hamels, they have now, for now, separated themselves as the best team in the National League.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay, yes.
Folks?
So that said, having said that, would you rather play the, is that the, would you rather, sir, coming up later, would you rather,
on get play, up, would you rather,
play the Dodgers in a one-game wild card at home or the Cubs in a five-game NLDS? Because in our theory here, the Cubs are by far better than the Dodgers, so you would say, well, you'd rather face the Dodgers. But that one game where we were talking about, maybe it's Kershaw. I know at some point he's probably going to be okay against the Cardinals. Which would you rather do? You'd probably say the five-gamer.
100%.
Because it's also five games. But it is that Cubs team that we just said is the best in the National League. So isn't it kind of weird? You'd be like, oh, I'd rather play the Dodgers. Not in that scenario.
Well, right. But then if you do beat the Dodgers, you're going to have to play a series after that anyway. So give me those Cubbies. Five games. More fun. More playoff revenue for the DeWitts.
Having said that, and the Cardinals 9-7 head to head against the Cubs.
Yeah.
9-7 against the Cubs. More fun with numbers. Hoff has been working overtime. Current members of the Cards rotation, Gomber, Michaelis, Flaherty, and Gant, have a combined 1.58 ERA versus the Cubs this year.
A lot of the damage, not all, because Weaver's had rough times, Walker's had rough times against the Cubs, but a lot of the damage inflicted upon the Cardinals by the Cubs has been absorbed by Tyler Lyons,
Carlos,
Brett Cecil, Martinez has had some rough outings, Greg Holland, even Myers has had some rough outings, but most of them absorbed by guys who, if you were to get to October and play a five-game set, wouldn't factor into any of the games because they're either not here or you wouldn't want them to appear.
How about the fact that when rosters expand, the Cardinals, and this is not hyperbole, will basically have 10 starting pitchers on their staff. If you count it up, they will basically have 10 starters that they can use in the month of September with Wainwright coming back and Carlos Martinez already in the pen.
Looking forward to some clarification today. I'm assuming John Mozeliak will talk. Maybe Mike Gersh. Somebody is going to talk because it's the beginning of a homestand. As far as the Wainwright plan, coming off good outing last night in Memphis, Mozeliak said on Sunday that he's coming back. He's part of the rotation. If he's part of the rotation, does that mean Waka is also part of the rotation? And I think everyone would be rooting for both, but I think you'd be nervous about messing with what's been working. Even though you're only using four guys right now, you need to add one in theory because you're only using four. The dangerous thing is you'd probably rather see Ponce de Leon get back out there at this point than you would even one of your veteran guys. And that's the spot they're sort of in right now. And I think, as I said yesterday, it's possible that Mozeliak said that and gave himself some wiggle room. Like, well, things have changed. You can always say, hey, he's coming back part of the rotation. And then eventually say, well, we had to tweak the plan.
Boring answer here.
I actually
don't think it matters. And I say that because...
How is that possible?
Because whether it's...
What doesn't matter? That he said it?
No, it doesn't matter.
This is sports talk radio, sir. You answer with conviction.
Okay.
You got to work on your teases.
All right. Teasing. What? GIFs? GIFs?
GIFs.
Retweets. My point, though, is look at recently with the non-stud starters. If you're not having a great outing, recently we've seen this with Luke Weaver, even if Ponce de Leon is having a good outing, Mike Schilt is not scared to go out there and get that guy after four innings. With Luke Weaver, it was sometimes 3 2/3. So my point is, I don't really think it matters if you start a Wainwright, then he gets in trouble 3rd, 4th, you bring in a Ponce de Leon, or vice versa.
I'm trying to spice up your take with Ponce.
Don't you think that was pretty spicy?
I know what you're saying.
But do you disagree?
But at
what does it matter? If they're both going to throw three innings.
If some guy gives up four runs in the first inning, that's a problem.
Agreed. And you're going to take him out.
But the damage is done.
But they're going to see from Wainwright. Now, last night, Wainwright went four innings. It was AAA. Struck out four guys. If he's ready to go, he's not going to pitch seven innings.
I understand.
He probably
that.
Won't even pitch five.
Okay, but what if it's five innings and five earned runs?
Then he doesn't get another start. And they have eight other guys they can start.
But probably a really big game. That's my point. It's tricky. I think it does matter. I hope it ends up not mattering.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
That's not real spice either. I hope it ends up not mattering, but they're in a tough spot.
Okay. Again, not that tough, but
wow,
different scenario. Ponce goes four innings. It's a tie game. Are you okay then with bringing Wainwright in? I mean, does he ever get to pitch, I guess, is the question.
And maybe they've done their metrics and said, we're better off starting him, and if it doesn't go well, we've got more time to kind of sort out the game. Maybe that's part of the thinking.
Right. And if Wainwright gets a start, I'm guessing they're going to have somebody ready to go, that if that guy has to be in there in the first, second, third inning, he's ready to rock.
But then
and there's
why?
Length.
Why start him then if you have to have that kind of contingency plan where hey, he's going to start, but we better be in all out hands on deck from the start of the game? If that's the case, what's the benefit of starting him? Isn't this too similar to what we went through in April with the Cardinals? Hey, you know, give Wainwright a shot, see what he has, and then you can always piggyback him with one of the young guys. And what happened? How many games did you piss away in April because of the strategy?
How about this then? Is this more fair?
Right, can give me the Pirates thing back. Is this going to be a hot
okay.
take? This feels like a hot
Here
take.
We go.
Okay. Why is Greg Holland still in the... Frank, that's an old monologue.
I meant the Washington Nationals. Okay, how about this then? Bring him back.
We got it.
Rosters expand. Cardinals are up 7-1. Cardinals are down 8-2. Bring Waino in. See what he has. Move forward from there.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But I think you need like a sampler.
A sampler platter. So you're talking about chicken tenders.
Crudite.
Jalapeno poppers.
7-1 lead.
Jumbo shrimp.
Yeah. I'm fine. I just think the dangerous thing, you're going to have a lot of options. I agree with you that they have tremendous depth. You're getting into September. You're going to have all these arms. It's not a problem at all. You get all these arms. But you have something that's working right now, and that's the thing that scares me a little bit, is if you get away from that.
How about this, though?
How about this?
Look, I said
this.
This is like
bring the music back. Bring the music back.
How about this? Coming up next.
All I'm saying is this. A couple weeks back, everybody said when Brett Cecil came back,
correct.
Why are we bringing him back? Why are you messing with a good thing? And what has happened since? He's actually been good.
Ever since you and him had that heart-to-heart.
Besides the one outing.
I feel like he turned the corner after you guys talked.
Mental coach, talking with Carp. Again, just an asset. I'm not saying he's your best reliever. A guy you can use.
You know, I found an old take. I was looking for some video the other day, and I found a TKO that I did in February. And it was called Cardinal Fans Calm Down. And I don't know why I said it at the time, but it was about, I mean, I don't know why I had that take, but it was Yu Darvish signed with the Cubs. And my TKO was about how Darvish really wasn't that good. I got lucky. And I'm saying most times we do overreact. So Charlie is in the camp here of saying don't overreact. In the packaging of, How about this, which comes your way at 12:18?
And that show's not going away, right? It's not working.
It's being
Michelle Beadle. Michelle Beadle doesn't watch football. Are you kidding me?
Who controls the music?
Hold on. Did that show actually? I've lost track.
It's been subtracted by an hour. They announced that the other day.
Beadle's but also, gone. She's moving
going to LA.
Strictly NBA
and it's
coverage.
Moving from 3 hours to 2 hours.
So get up, but you can get up a little later. Or you don't have to get up for as long.
Who controls the music at Busch Stadium pregame?
I don't know.
I ask because sometimes
you want them to play Pirates.
When Mo talks, sometimes you can hear like stadium sound in the background. You hear like the ambient music being played. I want them to play Pirates of the Caribbean while Mo is speaking, so we can play like him talking about Wainwright, and then faintly you just hear that.
Well, we feel like he's ready, and candidly, if he's ready, he pitches. It's not that complicated. I like what Charlie said earlier today on the Midday Grind.
Mm-hmm. How can you be worried right now?
Worry is a relative term.
If anything you're not worried about, it's the pitching depth for Jiminy Christmas, right?
Wow.
I mean, literally, you have ridiculous
Charlie's officially
options.
A dad. He just said Jiminy Christmas instead of like a curse word.
Jiminy Christmas.
He walked the dog
you're officially
today.
A father.
I walked the dog.
Right.
Look at you.
Baby saying dad.
Aw.
Mama's not happy about that. Dad is. Next topic.
Managerial salaries. I like this. Bob Nightingale had the full list. You always sort of guess what these guys are making. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, putting it out there. By the way, this hour brought to you by our friends at Bertarelli. That's Sharp City, Charles. That's located on the hill.
It is 1927 Marconi on the web. BertarelliCutlery.com. Love that place. Drive by it. Sometimes I actually go in there.
You drove by.
Buy new knives. Get your old knives sharpened. Great for a wedding gift, for a housewarming gift. And they have the knives.
What if
Martin.
You're not invited into the house that you've been to?
But you were invited to the wedding and haven't given a gift.
That's also true. You
but
could bring the knives.
The gift was going to be the night we were going out, and then we ended up out in the back, so they couldn't go. So
here's what you do.
Story.
You bring some nice knives for the patio, and you have a nice charcuterie platter there, and you can cut the meats and cheeses with the knives. For example, the Infidel, one of the great knives from Bertarelli Cutlery on the hill, 1927 Marconi, on the web, BertarelliCutlery.com.
It's been a very hors d'oeuvre heavy show early on.
I think we're kind of hungry. You think that's part of it? Of course, Frank served up lasagna for the staff before
lasagna.
I showed up.
Every garbage can here at 590 right now, there's a styrofoam tray
Correct.
Of just beef juice, mm-hmm. just kind of smelling up every room.
Hey, beef juice, when are you going to go deep again? All right, the managers, the most highly paid managers, you could guess. They've been around, they've got big names, therefore the big stars. Did you look at the list, Hoff?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
I looked at it before you actually sent it to me. I saw it on Twitter this morning.
So it's a tie for first, three-way tie. Mike Socha, Joe Maddon, Bruce Bochy all make $6 million a year. I believe at the end, La Russa was around five, that they had kept bumping him up. He'd been here a long time. Terry Francona at $4 million, Buck Showalter, $4 million. But the gist of the Bob Nightingale article is sort of how the prices are going way down on managers. And he pointed out that Joe Girardi, John Farrell, Dusty Baker last year were replaced by rookie managers who are earning a total of $2.7 million. So Girardi, Yankees, Farrell, Red Sox, Baker, Nationals, big money guys replaced by three guys we're making less than $3 million. And that is sort of the trend. What's also notable, you wondered, we didn't really know. We said Matheny was probably around two. Wasn't that our best guess?
I believe so, yes.
That he'd been here for a while, bumped him up, had success, signed him to a longer deal, and then they had to buy out the last 2 years. They owe him for the next 2 years, and we all said it was in that $4 to $5 million range. So that means the next 2 years, he's probably going to make two-ish. And it turns out 1.9 was the salary for this year. And then it has the prorated deal. So Mike Schilt is making $700,000 prorated. I guarantee he's ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
You're a career minor league manager. You're a bench coach. And they say, here's the deal. You're taking over. Obviously, we're going to give
you. I'll take it. He doesn't even listen. He says, I will take whatever
we'll pay you 700.
Offer
I'll take it.
You give me.
And knowing what we do know, Mike Schilt, you're right. He's probably like, I'm happy to do this job. I'll do whatever you think is. And like, here's the deal. To be fair, $700,000 is what you should be getting. You're a first-time manager, and we'll prorate that for the rest of it. He's like, giddy up.
Done deal.
Jim Riegelman, exact same number in Cincinnati, $700,000 prorated. The Braves manager might be the manager of the year, Brian Snitker, which is always our quiz when Atlanta comes down. What's that manager? Is that Freddie Gonzalez? Brian Snitker, less than $1 million.
That was kind of Spagsy in there. What's that guy's name?
Alex Cora, Red Sox, surprises me.
That surprised me.
Because it's Boston. And they got him at $800,000. But there's a shift here. And Brian Boehringer was talking with Frank about Matheny getting another opportunity. But he said he was talking about Girardi, getting into it with Cashman. He said the game is sort of shifted. And the GMs kind of have all the juice right now. And you don't have the big name managers for the most part around the league.
You check that list and it seems like, all right, you're going to get about a million. And then once you've been around a while, and especially if you win a World Series or multiple, then you're getting past that $3 million mark. What I really thought of when I saw that list was the difference, especially between baseball managers and NFL football coaches. And I'm just thinking, if you're an NFL football coach and you're that kind of hot coordinator that gets the head coaching job, every single one of those guys gets what? A three, but usually a four-year contract. For how much? $3 million a year? Half those guys are fired after 2 years. In some cases, 1 year. I've always thought that was so stupid.
Like the Mangini guys.
But every team does it. Every team does this. And I've always thought that's so dumb. Why do the coaches and the agents have so much power when so many coaches have been fired after 2 years? All these guys get four-year deals. And it sure seems like the baseball model makes much more sense. You get about a million, you prove yourself, you get more. It seems fair.
Although, I have to say, that job, 162, it's a grind. The baseball, I don't know if the football guy, I know it's a lot of work. You're grinding tape all week. You fly out to Seattle a little bit early because it's a big game.
Well,
I kind of think baseball managers should get more than football coaches because of the length of the games that go into it.
I think NFL football coaches, though, have more of an impact on wins and losses than a baseball manager.
Whoa. Why do you hate Mike Schilt?
Don't you think that's wrong with pretty you? Obvious?
Mike Schilt's like practically undefeated.
But you just said it's more about the hierarchy within the organization. It's more about DeWitt, Mozeliak, Schilt being on the same page than just the football coach.
But can't you look at season to season when there are managerial changes and notice the trends? Like Dusty Baker gets fired from Washington and they become, with by and large, a similar roster, they become a mess with a new manager. You look at what happened here in St. Louis. Matheny gets fired, Schilt takes over, and it's a completely different team. The mindset, the chemistry, the way they play completely
changes.
So you're
saying it matters a lot.
It does matter. It has to, right?
You're talking more strategy,
I think. There are too many examples of this for it not to matter.
You're also bringing up the model good franchise for always doing everything wrong in the Washington Nationals. They shut down Strasburg. That looks stupid. They fire every manager. Always looks dumb. You fire Dusty. You're worse. You trade Felipe Vasquez to get a reliever. Felipe Vasquez is an awesome left-handed reliever. The next year, you trade Blake Treinen to get relievers. Blake Treinen is literally the best reliever in baseball. What are you doing, Washington Nationals? Play the music.
Next topic. All right, quick break here. Kenny Wallace is coming up. Cardinals.com/promotions where you can get your tickets. It was fine, Chuck. What? It seemed like being awkwardness at the end of that hot take.
Because you let it linger too long. You, as the point man, need to right afterwards, boom, boom, boom.
I was waiting for your signature close when you say, next topic.
Is that a signature
boom.
Close?
Next topic.
Okay.
How about this?
Go CBC.
Next topic.
Get up.
Cardinals.com/promotions for this weekend where there's a number of different theme nights. It's the Cards and Reds all weekend at Busch. Get online at Cardinals.com/promotions. And right now, Hoff, the listener rewards program.
Yeah, Marty.
How about this?
Log on to 590thefan.com. You have the wellness program for Celsius Cryotherapy and also Hollywood Casino. Two-night stay. You can have them consecutive or split them up, plus a restaurant credit of $50. All major discounts on both packages. Go to 590thefan.com and click on the listener rewards banner on the right, and I'll take you right to there to purchase your listener rewards certificates.
How about this? Kenny Wallace is coming your way next.